You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning, all. That was the 22nd Bond movie, Quantum of Solace, and probably the first time I've ever had a message based on a Bond movie. But it's the second Daniel Craig movie, Bond movie, based on or follows up after Casino Royale. Now, this is a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, it's been out since 2008, so don't blame me. So you have the villain, the Bond villain is Dominic Green, who you saw there at the opera having a meeting, and he's having a meeting. He's trying to corner the market on the world's most valuable resource, the world's most valuable resource, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Now, the world's most valuable resource is not oil. It is water. You all were paying attention. It's water. You know, it would stink. It would be horrible, but we would survive if we didn't have any oil, but we cannot live without water. So this morning, we're going to talk about water and in a very different way. There was also another movie. It was the 1975 movie called Chinatown. It starred Faye Dunaway and who is the other actor? It's in my notes. Thank you. Somebody knows. Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. And it happened in the 1930s, and it was about the California water wars. And there was a quote in that movie that I want to share with you, and it said this: if you control the water, you control the whole development of the country. Water is important to our survival. Our story this morning is about water, but it's so much more important. It's not just about that bottle of Aquafina, or if you really like water, it'd be Dasani. It's so much more than that. Well, this morning, the setting is this. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in Jerusalem. The Feast of Tabernacles is taking place. There are three pilgrimage festivals that happen in Jerusalem. One of them is Passover. You're familiar with that, right? We've talked about Passover a lot. We had the rabbi come and explain Passover, and we've done the Seder meal. And then we have Pentecost, and that is the celebration of the day that the law was given. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, or in some Bibles, like in the ESV, it says the Festival of Booths. That sounds so plain, the Festival of Booths. I like the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the Feast of Provision. In the wilderness, as the Israelites were traveling through the wilderness, God provided for them. He provided food, he provided shelter, which is tabernacles, and he provided water. He provided water for the rock, if you remember the story. So they were there to remember God's provisions, shelter, water, food, bread in the wilderness. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles. So they're in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the last day. The great day is what they call it. And just for context, the Feast of Tabernacles last ended October 7th of 2023. Let that sink in for a minute. October 7th, 2023 was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now picture this. A man climbs up. He comes out of the temple and he climbs up on top one of the tables set up outside of the temple. He gets up on top of the table and he shouts. And he says, "Hey, listen up. Listen to me. Is anyone thirsty?" Now the first immediate thing you think is, oh, it's a vendor. He's got some Dasani, or if he's really inexpensive, it's Aquafina or Sam's Choice. And you think it's a vendor setting up a table to sell his wares, his water, his Diet Coke, his Coke Zero, or even better, maybe some coffee set up there, some holy coffee. And he says, "Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink." But he continues, and that's how we know it wasn't just a vendor. It says this: whoever believes in me, as it says in the Bible, out of your gut will flow rivers of living water. Of course, this man was God in the flesh. This man was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And he had come out of the temple as they're celebrating really about him. The one that these festivals are about is Jesus, foreshadowing, forecasting the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus comes out. And that brings us to our story in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, if you have that ESV Bible there in front of you, it's on page 990. If you didn't bring a Bible, feel free to take that one out of the rack there in front of you. It's on page 990. If you have an app, we're in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And it says this, starting in verse 37. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day. This was the greatest day of the feast. It's where they have the water and the light ceremony. And they're celebrating that. We read about that way back in Deuteronomy. They talk about this. And Jesus takes this central act of worship that the Jewish people were conducting or participating in. He takes this central act of worship and he points it to himself. And Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone, it says in verse 37, anyone. You know, it doesn't say Dan. It doesn't say my name. It doesn't say your name. And that's a good thing because it's not just addressed to you or to me. It is addressed to anyone. He says, if anyone thirsts. Pastor Tom, a couple of weeks ago, he talked about thirsting. He talked about craving Jesus, craving salvation. He said you have to realize that you're thirsty in order to come to Christ. You have to realize that you need forgiveness. And Jesus goes on, he says, if you're thirsty, let him come to me. Come to the right source. Come to the source. Don't drink from Coke Zero. But fresh water, the true source, the true gospel. And he says, and drink. He continues in verse 38. He says, whoever believes, it's a picture of if you thirst and you come and you drink, then you believe, and you believe in the right source. He says, whoever believes in me, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, the Christ, faith alone without anything else is what he's saying. Come to me, he says. Now, a lot of folks are familiar with chapter 3 of John. You know, we're in chapter 7, but a few chapters before this, we have John chapter 3. Probably the most quoted verse in Scripture is John 3:16. You probably know it. Yes? You've heard it before? Well, let's look at it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, it's just like saying, hey, anyone who's thirsty, whoever believes in me should not perish but have eternal life. Folks, that's the gospel. If you believe in God, if you believe in his son, if you believe by faith what he did for you on the cross, and you accept him, you drink of him, you should not perish. You shall not perish. You should not. You will not. You shall not perish. But you will have eternal life. That's the offer of eternal life. And he says in verse 17 in John chapter 3, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's as simple as that. If you believe he came, he died in your place on that cross. By faith, accept that he did it for you. That you are anyone, then you can scan that QR code right there in front of you, fill out that connection card, and say, I accepted Jesus. I, for the first time, realized that he died for me, and you can put that on your connection card. But the verse continues in verse 18. The passage continues. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Two choices. Believe, have eternal life. Don't believe, be condemned. Now back to John chapter 7, page 990, if you have that paper Bible there in front of you. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, I'm sorry, I'm in verse 38. I jumped ahead. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Whoever believes in me, Jesus is speaking. He says, if you believe on me, you believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Now that word in English, we read it as heart. It could be stomach or gut. Literally, it is bowels. You know, and in English, we don't think of the bowels as the seat of the emotions. We use heart. You know, the Jewish culture, they use bowels, your gut, as the seat of the emotions. You know, and it translates much better in English. I mean, could you imagine how, if we thought of the bowels as the seat of the emotions, how that would ruin a lot of songs? My achy, breaky bowels. It's a total eclipse of the bowels. Don't go breaking my bowels. I see the future in your eyes. I know you see the same in mine. I want this forever. Yeah, our bowels beating together. And I'm feeling so sick to my stomach. You know, it just kind of ruins songs. So it's good for us, you know, in our English, in our culture, to think of the seat of the emotions is the heart. The depth of your soul is what it literally is talking about. And notice next, it's talking about that coming from the seat of your emotions. Rivers, plural, rivers, abundantly flowing. And now notice here, and here it's important to realize that this is in contrast, not really in contrast, more in parallel with the well that was spoken of in John chapter 4. Just a few weeks ago, if you were here, we talked about the woman at the well. And so we need to understand this is in a parallel passage to the well. Now we have rivers of water. We had a well of water. Now we have rivers of water. And we need to understand that what's being taught here. And John, the disciple that Jesus loved, is writing, the apostle John, and he's writing this, and he's our narrator, and he explains what he's talking about here in verse 39. He says, now this is talking about verses 37 and 38, what came before. He says, he, Jesus, said about the Spirit. You see, water is used in Scripture to symbolize the Holy Spirit of God, the world's most precious resource, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're going to look at that in a few minutes, but we remember that this is on the last day of the feast, the great day. You see, on the great day, the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would draw water from the pool at Siloam. He'd bring it to the temple in a golden pitcher. You have to see this as golden. And he would pour it on the altar. And then it would go into a silver bowl. Now, I don't have an altar to pour it on. Anybody want to volunteer? I'll pour it over you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And the priest would pour it over the altar. And the water would go into a silver bowl. And that would symbolize what was coming for the people. That would symbolize the Spirit that would be poured out. This is spoken of in several of the prophecies, in several of the major and minor prophets, how the water would flow from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a capital city that's not built on a river. One of the only cities in the Middle East that is not built upon a river. But the river will be there in the future. So this is to symbolize that, the blessings, to remind them of the blessings that they received from the Lord, the provision of water in the wilderness that came out of the rock. And they would pray and ask the Lord for blessings. And they would pray this. They would say, remove the partition separating us from you. They realized there was a division of a partition separating them from Almighty God. And they would pray and ask the Lord to remove that partition. This was called the Hoshana Rabbah, which means the great salvation. We get the word Hosanna from this. And they would pray and ask the Lord to remove the barrier between them and him. Now back to verse 39. It says, now this, verses 37 and 38, he, Jesus, said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit of God as a bonus. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. For from our perspective, it's finished. It's done. Jesus has been lifted up. The Holy Spirit is present with us. This is talking about something that will be in the future for them, but it's happened for us. It has taken place. So today we are focusing on the water and the Spirit, the world's most precious resource. Back on page 990, it says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's not a well, it's a river of living water. As Pastor Tom explained when he was talking about the woman at the well, he said it's an immediate response. When you respond to Jesus and you accept him, it isn't a process of salvation that takes place over time. It is immediate. Once you place your faith on him, you receive Jesus. You receive that Holy Spirit. He talked about that in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. The woman at the well in John 4:11. We see the sip that satisfies. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Jesus told her about the living water in the well, his well, springing up into eternal life. Now, I'm going to ask you for a little bit of latitude as we explain this. We have to understand that this is a historical narrative, and we don't normally take doctrine or theology from a historical narrative. You know, it's explaining what took place, and it's an example to us, and we learn from that. We normally get our doctrine and our theology from the epistles, but we have a picture here of something that's amazing. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you also receive the Holy Spirit. And we have to think about this because we have one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. And so when you receive Jesus, you also receive the Holy Spirit. From John's perspective, when he's writing, that's future. From our perspective, it's current. It takes place the moment that you receive the Holy Spirit. We say that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I really wish they had translated that word baptized differently. You know, you probably have heard it's the Greek word baptizo, and they just transliterated it and called it baptize. It literally means to immerse. And we see that as somebody's baptized here, they go into the water. They're completely surrounded by water. They're completely immersed in water. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you are immersed in the Holy Spirit. You receive all of the Holy Spirit. You're completely immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. And if we say immersed, I think it helps us to picture it better, to better understand what's taking place. At the moment of salvation, as Jesus said to that woman in John 4, you receive a well of living water. Now picture a well. A well is a tank or a cistern full of living water. It holds water that you must draw from. And it, in physics terms, you would say it has potential energy, right? You remember those physics classes you slept through? I mean, that you vigorously took notes in. Do you remember potential energy? You know, it has potential energy in that tank. And if you draw it out, you can satisfy your thirst. At the moment of salvation, you get immersed in the Holy Spirit. You get all of the Holy Spirit you will ever get. You get it all. We are completely immersed in the Holy Spirit, and we have his potential energy. You get all of him. So the question of the hour is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? The question of the hour is, does he have all of you? Because if you have accepted Jesus by faith, even if you just did it moments ago when we were reading John 3:16, you possess all of the Holy Spirit. You are immersed, you are baptized, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and that's a big deal. You have his potential energy. So the question of the hour for those of you who have already accepted Jesus, that already know for sure you're going to heaven someday, you have all of the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? And that's our focus today. Our focus is, how do we let the Holy Spirit have all of us? There is a difference between you possessing the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit possessing you. We call it being filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, you are immersed in the Holy Spirit, but are you filled with the Holy Spirit? The possessing of the Holy Spirit happens once, the moment you accept Jesus, but you are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is an ongoing process that you can be filled with his Spirit. It is an ongoing process. It happens over and over. We can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God. He is indwelling us. We have his well of potential energy. But you remember energy that's moving? That river that's flowing is kinetic energy. Do you remember that term, kinetic energy? That's energy of action. It takes energy of action to be to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever been talking on your cell phone? Or maybe, you know, you've got your cell phone against your head and you're like, where's my cell phone? Has that ever happened to you? Okay, it happens to me all the time. I'll be on FaceTime with one of my kids and I'm like, have you seen my cell phone? And I'm holding it in my hand. I've done the same with my glasses. Have you ever done that? Those of you that wear glasses, you're like, where are my glasses? And somebody says, on your face. You know, we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We're like, oh man, I really need more of the Holy Spirit. You already got him. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you accepted Christ, you already got him. You got the Holy Spirit. You have his potential energy. You have the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about with the Samaritan woman. She realizes he's the Messiah, and she will receive the Holy Spirit, future tense, because Jesus has not yet been glorified. But we know when we receive Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. Now, let me point something out that's really not part of my lesson, but Pastor John likes to say, hey, this is for free. You know, and that usually means it's going to offend some people. I don't know if you picked up on that or not. So this is for free. Talking about John chapter 4, going back to that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman that's at the well. Let me just say this. Jesus can forgive divorce. Divorce does not keep you out of heaven. It doesn't matter what you've read on the internet, because we have a woman at the well who had five previous husbands, and she's shacking up with a guy that's not her husband. And what does Jesus say? Hey, you're going to experience eternal life. She got into heaven. You know, you could be a murderer and be divorced and still go to heaven. I just want to make that point in case you got that wrong. So let me summarize to this point. If you are a believer, if you know Christ is your Savior, you have all of the Holy Spirit. John 7:38, back to John 7:38, it says this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, the seat of his emotions, will flow rivers of living water. The well of water is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The river of water is the filling of the Holy Spirit. You have potential energy with the well of the Holy Spirit. You have energy of action or kinetic energy when you are a river, have a river of the Holy Spirit flowing out of you. Kinetic energy is where it's at. That produces action. The river is flowing in order to have power. If you dam it up, you stop it up, it ceases to flow. It stops having power. We need to be a river of living water. We need to be constantly asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to have that energy of motion. We need to be in motion, moving. Verse 39, he says, now this is said about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, whom those who believe in were to receive, we will receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified, but he has been glorified. Today, when you accept Christ, you receive immediately the Holy Spirit. So you have all of the Holy Spirit, but the question is, does he have all of you? Ephesians 5:18 talks about this. In writing to the Ephesians, Paul says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled is an imperative command. It is in the present tense. It's a command for us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, certainly, no one here has probably ever seen a drunk person. I understand that soldiers drink a lot, as opposed to sailors. And you have probably never seen a drunk person. Now, some of you might remember the Andy Griffith Show. How many of you remember Otis the Drunk? Oh, okay. That's a good number. More than I expected. You know, I just want to point something out. Otis the Drunk was the only married person in Mayberry. I just want to leave that there. That's a freebie. You can take that for what it's worth. I'm in trouble now. But the comparison still works. When a person is drunk, they are totally under the control of the spirits. That's probably not the right word. By the drink. You know, you've seen them stumbling and maybe saying dumb things. I'm sure it's never been you, but other people maybe you've seen, and they're totally controlled by the drink. That is what's pictured here. Be filled with the Spirit. Be totally controlled by the Spirit. And it's a command. You possess the Spirit, but let him control you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a passage we've studied many times before. Starting in verse 12, it says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. Verse 13 says this, for in one Spirit we are all immersed, or baptized, it says, but it means to be immersed in the Spirit into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. The Greek word, as I said, is baptizo, and it means to be immersed. It is a past tense completed action. It's done. When you accept Jesus, you are immersed in the Holy Spirit. While the Greek in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit, is a present tense continual action. It's a command to be done. So if you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You are immersed in him. Baptism of the Holy Spirit happens once at salvation. Filling of the Holy Spirit can happen over and over. Baptism of the Holy Spirit happens to all believers at salvation. Filling only happens to obedient believers. Baptism means the Holy Spirit is resident. Filling means the Holy Spirit is present. Baptism means the Holy Spirit is present. Filling means the Holy Spirit is preeminent. Baptism means the Holy Spirit is there. Filling of the Holy Spirit means that he is premier. Baptism means the Holy Spirit gives potential power. Filling means the Holy Spirit power requires action. Have you ever heard maybe some of those stories about people who had extraordinary strength in an emergency? Have you ever heard those stories? I posted a video in our Facebook group last night of a man that lifted a car to pull a three-year-old out from under it. Had extraordinary strength. He had that rush of adrenaline. He could lift that car. There is a woman, her name is Lydia, and she's a 41-year-old woman living in northern Quebec, 5'2", whatever, weight. I don't want to throw something out there. And she was walking with her two boys, and there was a polar bear coming to attack. 700-pound polar bear. She told her boys to run and flee, and Lydia stayed and attacked the 700-pound polar bear and held off the bear. Extraordinary strength that she and herself did not possess, but she was pumped with adrenaline, and she fought off that bear long enough for somebody to fire a weapon into the air and scare the bear off. She received a hero's medal for her actions because she saved her boys with superhuman strength. With superhuman strength. That's what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So for a period of time, your normal strength is magnified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You know, over the last several weeks, I don't know if you've noticed, but half of the time our preachers are up here preaching sick or injured. Have you noticed that? I blame Pastor John. He's not here, so we can blame him. The last time I preached was March 17th, about a month and a half ago. And I mentioned when I was speaking that, you know, my stomach was distended and it felt like I did 100 push-ups. My muscles were hurting. I don't know if you remember that, but I was in a little bit of pain before I got up here to preach. And I prayed and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm hurting. You're going to have to do it for me because I cannot. In my human flesh, I cannot deliver this message, which is true of any time you get up to preach the word of God. Well, that Thursday on the 21st, I went into the hospital because I had pancreatitis. Apparently, pancreatitis is very painful. I don't know. The morphine helped me. And I felt pretty good after that. The Dilaudid, that's good stuff too. I don't recommend it for normal use. Let me be clear about that. But if you have pancreatitis, it works. You know, it relieves the pain. But I didn't realize when I got up to preach, when I asked the Lord to fill me with his Spirit, to help me, give me the words to say, that I absolutely needed it because I was hurting. And the Lord spoke in spite of me, not because of me, but in spite of me. And that is our prayer. So the question of the hour is not, do you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? And what hinders you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, what stops up a river? You know, you can get a beaver, will make a dam, you know, and block up a river. You know, things will stop up water. You know, we have water coming into our home and going out of our home. You probably have the same, right? You open the faucet, water comes in. You flush and water goes out. We have had the privilege over the last couple of weeks to have Fios, fiber optic, go through our yard. Since that time, the water going out has had problems. And what we found out is that the city, when they marked the sewer lines for the Fios contractors, they just guessed. They said, well, it's got to be a straight line. Well, our sewer doesn't go in a straight line. It goes at a 45-degree angle downhill, as it should, under the driveway. So somewhere in that long sewer line, 75 feet, they hit it with their missile. They call it a missile when they shoot that thing underground. And so we've had sewer problems for the last couple of weeks because they hit it with their missile and they don't know where the leak is. When you get a clog, water stops flowing. If you've ever experienced that, it's not fun. The water stops flowing. Well, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you are, the Holy Spirit is working through you, that's an amazing thing. But then there are clogs in the river, things that stop the water from going. And we don't have time to go through everything that could be a clog. But the number one thing I think is, that's important to address is sin will stop the flowing of the Holy Spirit. It will cease the water from flowing from the Holy Spirit if you have sinned. And I like to look at 1 John 1 when I think of sin. It says in 1 John 1, 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is written to Christians, to believers, to followers of Jesus, because even Christians will sin. And if you say you have no sin, you're lying to yourself. Verse 9. This is my life's verse. Most pastors have wonderful psalms or proverbs. You ask them, there'll be some spiritual truth that's amazing as their life's verse. I have this one because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm really flawed. I fall short of the glory of God all the time. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's my prayer daily. Lord, you know I have failed again. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. See me as holy because of Jesus. Sometimes we just need a little confession to unblock the river, to get the water flowing again. The Holy Spirit is not just a title, holy. He is holy. He needs to live in a clean environment, a holy environment. The Holy Spirit cannot flow through a clogged pipe. If sin is blocking your flow, then you need to confess your sin. Remove the clog. Remove the block. Because you may have all the Holy Spirit, but does he have all of you? Let's pray. Father God, I come before your throne. And Lord, you know that my words are void and meaningless. But Lord, we know that your word will not return void. It will hit its mark every time. And Lord, I pray this morning for those that are here that know you as Savior, that I've already accepted you. Lord, I'm praying for them that right now you will fill them with your Spirit. Fill them with your Spirit in a way that will be powerful, that will be, have kinetic energy, powerful energy flowing through them. Lord, out of their belly, help them to receive that living water, to activate that living water. And Lord, I pray that we would go from here as your soldiers, as your army going forward, filled with the Spirit to do your will. Lord, I pray that if there are some here that have unconfessed sin in their life, that they will come to you, they will confess their sin. And Lord, we know that you promised to cleanse all unrighteousness, renew a right spirit in them. Use your people in a great and powerful way. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's